KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. One of the at least 17 federal inspectors general President Trump fired late Friday night is talking. Mark Greenblatt, formerly Interior Department Inspector General, says he got an email saying his position had been terminated. The role, he says, is supposed to be apolitical.
Who does he appoint in these positions? Is he going to appoint someone who is, a watchdog? Or is he going to appoint someone who's a lapdog?
Los Angeles now allowing all residents of the fire-ravaged Pacific Palisades section to return to what's left. However, a 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew remains in effect. Illinois is among states that legalized recreational marijuana. Apparently, though, many still like to procure their herb the old-fashioned way. And from Rockford, Illinois, word of the arrest of Eric Henderson during a traffic stop on Friday night. Cops say they found 2.5 pounds of pot in his car. This is ABC News.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The deadline for the annual Wisconsin Governor's Business Plan Contest is fast approaching. The yearly contest, produced by the Wisconsin Technology Council, asks entrepreneurs to submit their business ideas and connects them with resources like business plan templates and networking contacts. Finalists in the contest could also receive shares of cash and service prizes. The deadline to enter the 2025 competition is Friday at 11:59 p.m. Contest applications can be submitted online at govsbizplancontest.com. The Dane County judge who struck down parts of the controversial Act 10 has granted a request from Republican lawmakers to put a temporary hold on the decision while they pursue an appeal. Judge Jacob Frost found that the risk of enforcing the ruling while the appeal was still pending could cause confusion and chaos if the decision was overturned by the appeals court after public employee unions had already started engaging in contract negotiations. If overturned by the appeals court, the ruling would be considered again by the state Supreme Court. The city of Ashland will host a public hearing on potential improvements at JFK Memorial Airport on Tuesday. The city is considering improvements like runway rehabilitation, installing new lights and signage, and purchasing more land for runway approaches. They are also considering the purchase of...
The Bills lose in Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Buffalo Bills lost the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs, 32-29. The Bills had the lead 10-7 in the second quarter, despite losing defensive back Christian Benford after he was carted off the field with another concussion. Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
You know, losing CB hurt us early there. We had a chance to convert a fourth down there, fourth and short. And then another fourth down late in the game there. It looked like we had a chance to catch it. Didn't work out that way.
The Chiefs are headed to their third consecutive Super Bowl. Head coach Andy Reid.
I'm proud of our guys battling. I mean, Pat Mahomes was phenomenal. You know, Travis Kelce, their leadership, Chris Jones. They didn't waver at all, and they know when to have fun, but they also know when to bear down.
The Chiefs will take on the Eagles, who beat Washington 55-23. NBA, the Bucks are in Utah tonight to play the Jazz. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win at home over Nebraska, 83-55. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, few flurries around, and lows in the low teens. For tomorrow, early snow showers, then some sunshine and breezy for the afternoon. Highs in the mid-30s. And mostly sunny on Wednesday, highs climb to the upper 20s.
Right now it's 31.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday, we'll get our regular check-in with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, who follows politics that impacts Wisconsin agriculture, and things are looking rough.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
All right. Let's kick hour number two off here, folks. Hey, we got a great lineup of guests this week. Tomorrow night on the show, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entertainment reporter Chris Foran will be here. We'll talk some Oscars with Chris. Comedian Olivia Witt, who I understand is a Madison native but makes her home in Brooklyn now. Frank Hermans will be here to talk about his new show, which will open here in Green Bay shortly, right down the street at the Meyer Theater. Our buddy Ben Reiser will be on Wednesday as well. Rick Overton, actor Rick Overton, will be here. He was in Groundhog Day. We'll have a discussion about Groundhog Day, one of my favorite movies, in preparation of Groundhog Day. And Chris Opper from the Door County Film Festival will be here also on Thursday. Right now, we are barreling through a Monday night.
I like to interrupt you whenever I can.
I've noticed that, Chip. That's okay. That's you're a guest on the show. You're my microphone. That wouldn't have sounded right. My show is your show. It's great to have you.
Do you want
to
know?
Yeah.
Do you want to know a fun fact that Rick Overton and I share?
Absolutely, I do.
Not the same year, but we have the same birthday.
Oh, is that right?
And every year on Facebook, hey, Rick, happy birthday. Hey, Chip, happy birthday.
Did you ever do stand-up with Rick?
No, but you know who else shares that date? Our friend Rich Brown.
Oh, Rich Brown. You know what I always used to say about Rich Brown?
No.
He's not really rich, so I used to call him Comfortable Brown. He's comfortable. But he could use some Chip's money tips. No. Rich is one of the funniest guys I know. You share some good birthdays there, buddy. That's fantastic. And you're all – oh, Rick's not a redhead, but Rich kind of has red hair. That's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I think of Rich as a redheaded guy.
That's what he wants on his tombstone, actually. He's very proud
of
it.
What a nice
way more
redheaded
proud
guy.
Exactly. Nathan Demming will be here at 7:20 talking about his film February. He's making a tour around the state, and Nathan plans on making a film for every month of the year set in Wisconsin, which I think is so cool. We'll talk to Nathan in a few minutes. Right now, we have a little more time here with Chip. I'm trying to figure out where I want to. All right. So, Chip, how can people improve their credit score? You told me once that you had like 30 credit cards.
Yes.
That you put a little money on at a time, and then you pay it off, and then you transfer it to Amazon and all this stuff. And having those credit cards, does that lower your credit, or does that raise your credit score?
Yes. Here's my deal.
Tell us how.
I've taken credit card offers for the last 30 years over my life. And then some of them will be like, hey, this card will get you all these frequent flyer miles, but it comes with an annual fee that's waived the first year. But then the year goes by, I get the frequent flyer miles, and then they say, hey, here's that annual fee. And then I go, hey, no, thank you. And so then what I do is I downgrade to the free version of that card. And that invariably has, okay, for every $2 you spend on this card, you get one frequent flyer mile. And I say, thank you, good to know. And then I stash it in my, where have I stashed my credit cards? And then every January, and I just did this a couple weeks ago. It's seriously, the calendar turns and I'm like, okay, where's my computer? Here we go. I go to Amazon and I put $5 because that's the minimum now. It used to be $2, but they made it $5. So I put $5 on each one of my credit cards that I have stored at Amazon. And I go $5 in one, $5 in two. So I know, you know, different credit cards are different amounts. And so that keeps my activity on the credit cards happening. And I know some people have said, no, you got to do it every 6 months. Well, I'm telling you right now, I've done this for 10 years easily. And once a year is just fine. Nobody closes the card for it can go dormant and they will close a card on you. And that's bad for your credit score. So you never want that to happen. But I have had no problem just charging it once a year to keep the card alive and to keep some activity on it. And all I do, I used to go to the gas station and load up my gas tank $2 at a time, which is fun for the guy behind me.
Diabolical, yeah.
But then I was like, hey, Amazon's got this other thing. This is easier. So I would go to, now I just go to Amazon. I spend, it takes about a minute per card. So it does take time, but you know, 30 cards, 30 minutes. And then I wait about 5 days and all the card transactions have paid Amazon and they're sitting there at the Amex or Chase or Citi. And I go sign in and I pay them all off in full. And I do it strategically, Pete, because I've also had all of my cards set to close on the 20th of the month.
Wow.
So I go in on the first, make the charge, pay it off, and then the statements close and there's no balance.
Now, how does that, how much are you going to see on your credit score from doing that? Do you know?
Just by keeping the cards alive and keeping, you know, I've got $5,000 credit line on this one, $3,000 here, oh, $15,000 over here. By keeping that credit limit alive and the credit history on the card alive, these are components of your FICO score. How long have you had credit? What's your average credit year? My year, I forget what it is, but it's like, oh, my average score is like 20 years. So that's good. I have a good credit history of 20 years or more.
Nice.
And they say, oh, you've got all the, I have a lot of, I have hundreds of thousands of dollars on my credit line, which, you know, it's nice because when I only use one card in my real life all the time.
Right.
And even if it's like, you have $1,000 on there this month. Well, $1,000 is 1% of $100,000. And if I have a $100,000 credit line, the part of my credit score that looks at the ratio of how much I've used to available credit is so low. It's like, oh, that's only 1%. Dude, that's great.
Wow.
Oh, and you have a long credit history? That's great. And you've got, you've got all this unused credit. This is fantastic. Oh, you get to have a score of 830.
And they give you low interest rate if you apply for a loan or another credit card or something, right?
Yeah, you will get the lowest interest rates available if you have a good credit score. So it's a minutia. It's kind of a weird thing. And I even sometimes just pay off the credit card in full before the 20th so that I have 0% usage that month. Now, it's a little weird. You don't have to do that.
Okay.
But you don't have to.
That is fascinating. Do you think there are people at these credit card companies that are out to get you? There's a chinnery charging $1.25 again on his gas card. What, like, do you think they have like investigators that come after you? Because like, you're gaming the system?
Yeah. What's this guy's problem? I don't know. He says you ripped off his parents or something. All right, whatever. I think that they have so many people and they're so large that they're like, I don't care.
How could they? There's no way. Like, unless there's some sort of huge data thing coming up on their reports or something.
Like, they know some people are gaming the system, but you know, I think they're just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, you asked about a hot tip.
Yeah. Give us a chip money tip.
I'm a big, if you're not getting 2% cash back on your everyday credit card, you're not trying. There's a couple out there, easy ones like Wells Fargo Active Cash Card, which I did a commercial for.
Nice.
With, Regina King. And then there's other ones like if you have Bank of America can get you up to 2.625% with 3.5 on restaurants if you have $75,000 at Merrill Lynch. So that's a little, you got to have some money to get that higher tier and you got to join something. You got to join the Premier program. So that's a little more complicated. But
should I put $75,000 on a credit card to get that money at Merrill Lynch? Would that be a good finance move?
I meant 75 grand in assets, like stocks.
Okay, sorry.
Your IRA.
All right, continue, please.
There's also a similar program that just came out in the last couple months from U.S. Bank, and they're pitching their U.S. Bank Smartly credit card. And if you get that credit card and you have, I think it's $100,000 in assets at U.S. Bank, they're going to give you 4% cash back. Well, this is kind of ridiculous. I don't know how long that's going to last. Because, you know, you charge something on a credit card, I don't know how they're going to make this work. Maybe they're focusing on volume or something.
It's got to be, right?
They're focusing on people maybe looking at other products that U.S. Bank has, kind of like a loss leader. Hey, come get this credit card, and you have all your stocks here. Are you sure you don't want your assets managed by our management team? I don't know what their end game is.
Let me ask you this, Chip. We just bought a futon for the guest room so that people have a place to sleep, whatever. It's cost about $1,000, whatever. I paid it off on PayPal, interest-free, within 6 months. I think I paid it off in like 4 months. Is that what I should have done, or should I have prolonged it to the 6 months or gone to a credit card where I get money back? What's the best way to pay something off if you plan to pay it off interest-free?
I think you did fine. Don't kill yourself. You paid it off. You're not paying interest on it. That's great. Don't worry about it. I'm crazy. So right now I know I have a property tax bill coming up in a couple months, and I know it's going to be a few thousand dollars. So I'm kind of thinking about maybe getting another credit card.
Okay.
And maybe I'll get a business credit card from Chase Inc. And what are the limits on that? Well, I will tell you if I click on it enough. But it's like right now they got a thing where you spend a few thousand dollars and you'll get $750 cash back. And it's like,
oh my gosh,
it sounds too good to be true. And it's like I'm looking at one right now through Chip's Money Tips, the business link. Don't worry about it. Inc. Business Unlimited credit card. They're giving 1.5% cash back. I've done this one before. Plus, you'll get a $750 bonus if you spend $6,000 in the first 3 months that the card's open. So that's $2,000 a month. I know I got these big bills coming up.
I've
got, you're actually helping me here because I know I have my State Farm. I have insurance. I have two insurance things coming up, and I have a property tax thing coming up. And I'm like, I should just get this because I charged those things on this card.
You're going to spend it
anyway.
I'm
going to get 1.5% cash back anyway.
Right.
So that's going to be $6,000, 1.5% cash back is going to be another $90. And I'm going to get 90 plus that bonus of 750. That's $840. And it's tax-free because it's technically a rebate. So you're not going to get a 1099.
You know, Conrad, first of all, has been writing furiously trying to keep up with all this. You can just listen to the podcast tomorrow, Conrad. But
Conrad, you have the Chips Money Tips concierge service. You can just email me. And
there you go.
Get you on the horn. We'll get this done.
And here's what happens. I was starting to, I'm following you. And then you started to lose me at the end there. And I think that's how people, they're just not as informed in this stuff. And that's why they need Chip's Money Tips. So check it out. Chip, thank you so much, buddy. There's a lot we didn't get to. But check out Chip's Money Tips and do yourself a favor and save some money. Thank you, buddy.
Good talking to you, Pete.
You too. All right. That's Chip Chinnery. When we come back after a very short break, filmmaker Nathan Demming is here, one of my favorites, joining me in the studio. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. It's free, too, folks. So stick around. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back. Conrad, we said Thursday is like Christmas Eve of weekdays. Monday is just like, what, the Monday of weekdays?
Yeah, I think so.
Even when you have a lot to talk about, it still feels like a Monday. And I said that without swearing. All right. It is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome to Nightlight someone here in the, a guest. I love when a guest comes to the studio. He's a filmmaker. He's a Wisconsin guy making his home in L.A. right now. But he's back here promoting a film he did called February. And he's taking it around the state. I love this idea. Nathan Deming joins me in the studio now. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Pete. Good. How are you?
Doing great. Great. It's fun that you made Green Bay part of your stop on the tour. Yeah, I know you got to – let's talk about February 1st. Let's start there. This great film, and it's the follow-up to
– January.
January.
And can you guess what's coming next?
I wish it was July, but it's probably March.
It's March.
Yeah. So tell us what do you want to talk about, February 1st or where this idea came from? You want to make a movie for each month.
Yeah, that's my dream. I want to make a movie for every month of the year. I'm calling it the Year Project.
Okay.
I'm going in order. And I have this larger story that I really want to tell. It's kind of like there's this Polish series I'm kind of inspired by called The Decalogue. If you've heard of that, this filmmaker named Kieslowski, he made 10 films, one for every commandment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm doing 12 films, one for every month of the year, all in Wisconsin, all different, like, Wisconsin stories, Wisconsin people. So the first one's about this kind of, like, loudmouth church volunteer overseeing a shotgun wedding in the coldest month.
Which is really funny. Yeah. I've seen the film. She is hilarious.
She's a very sharp cheddar flavor of a character.
It sounds like you've got a little commandment breaking in those films you're making, too, which is interesting. Yeah. Nice little tribute you worked in there.
Yeah. And then February, though, that's the one I'm taking around Wisconsin. So excited. We're going all over the state. And this one's about a Latino immigrant who's struggling to fit into Wisconsin until he finds ice fishing. And it's about a lot more than that, but that's kind of the basic premise. So.
I love it. It's such a great... Are you an ice fisherman?
I knew it a little bit before I made the film, but then I got really into it while making it.
You brought something here. Let's show this on the stream. He brought his actual ice fishing equipment. What do you call that guy?
This is a tip-up, which you didn't know what it was, right?
I didn't. Well, now I do that I see it, but when you said I brought a tip-up with me, I'm like, well, you can't drink on the show. I didn't know what you were talking about. But yeah, this is like ice fishing. The flag goes up when you get a bite, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good sign.
And then you reel in that perch.
Yeah, it's, or whatever.
Or whatever.
Usually something worse, yeah.
That's pretty cool. So where did you get this?
Pawn shop.
People pawning this stuff?
Yeah. Wow. Actually, so one of the funnier stories about making the film is most of the cast was cast like they were actors, you know, I auditioned them. But then the ice fisherman character, which you saw the film.
Yeah.
There's a very strong Wisconsinite character who's an ice fisherman. I could not find anybody. I was casting everywhere, and eventually I just threw up an ad on Craigslist, and this guy got back to me, or his wife got back to me, and said, oh, this is totally my husband.
He probably had no idea she was volunteering him.
Yeah, and then I met him. He was perfect. I was like, oh, the whole film like came to life. He had never acted before, and then he was perfect in the movie. And actually, most of the gear in the movie, not this bit, but most of the gear in the movie was his own gear. Then,
isn't that
too
crazy?
And like, because I had some that I was getting that would look older, like look used and stuff. And then he was like, that's a piece of crap. That's a piece of crap. You know, we're not using that. You know, we're going to use my stuff. So yeah.
And he was good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really good, I think. Yeah.
It just goes to show you can never pigeonhole people. Like, I remember when I shot a film in Northeast Wisconsin, and we shot on this farm, and the guy next door comes over. He's this like young farmer, and he's like telling me all these movies he'd seen. And I'm like, whoa, he's like way ahead of me. And he lives on this farm in Marinette County. He's like, yeah, we got the Independent Film Channel. And all that stuff. Like,
well, that's something I'm kind of passionate about with doing these month films, which deliberately I want to do like over 15 years. Like,
man, that,
every few years I'll make one.
That is
but
impressive.
I want to make them like all in Wisconsin with Wisconsinites, because I think there are so many talented people here.
Absolutely.
Characters we've never seen before, people that don't normally get on the big screen, and I'm excited to find them and meet them and make something.
They're out there.
They're out there.
You've already found some.
I've already found some.
You've done January, February, March. If you need someone in the warmer months, I'm happy to help you out. But you've always – let's talk about that. Is it tough to find – you know, Wisconsin, as of right now anyway, isn't – I wouldn't say it's known as a film state. You're looking for talent in a state that's not necessarily a film state, in a pretty rural area, aside from your leading actor. First of all, where did you find your leading actor? And then where did you find everybody else? Did you use a bigger casting director or just put out stuff locally?
Well, we did cast out of LA. So okay. David, yeah, like a majority of the cast is Latino, okay. And half the film is in Spanish, like that clip you had earlier is in Spanish. Yeah. So obviously a very large talent pool in LA to draw from.
Sure.
Yeah, David's from Riverside, California. He's a really good young actor, and he's actually coming out for the first week.
Oh, nice.
And I think he had a good time here when we filmed. He has a fridge magnet, apparently, that he is a treasured possession now. But,
okay.
But yeah, whenever I ask him, he's just like, I just remember it was cold. That's all I remember. like...
All right, so you're doing this screening. You're showing it around the state. What are some of the cities you're showing it in? Aside from Marinette, you're coming to where I live, which I think is great, at the Mariner Theater on the 22nd of February.
Uh-huh, and you're going to be
1
there.
1 o'clock. I'll
be
there
fun.
Introducing it. Yeah. We could do Q&As. We could do the twist if you want, whatever. I'm happy to help you promote this because I think it's such a cool idea. And not, I mean, it hasn't been done before. I mean, what you're doing over 15 years as your plan, the patience, you have to have like documentary film patience. You're like the guy who did Boyhood, Richard Linklater.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people have done other things plenty like this. I'm just finding my own path. And for some reason, I'm really inspired by the months of the year.
Yeah.
I just think it's a great container for stories, especially in Wisconsin, where we have such strong different months. Because I've lived in L.A. for 10 years now. You remember you've lived in L.A.
Yeah.
Every single month is the exact same thing. So,
you know, it's funny you say that. The longer you're there, you do notice the differences.
Oh, yeah,
but they're so, like, when you get there, it's like, why are you watching the weather?
Yeah.
There's nothing that's the same every day. So where else are you showing the film around Wisconsin? You got Marinette. You're at the Door County Film Festival in mid-February. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that, too.
Yeah.
But where else around the state can people see February?
Well, you name it. We might be going there. We have our full list online at februaryfilm.com/screenings.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, Alma, Richland Center, nice. Eau Claire, Toma, Sparta, Elroy.
All right.
We're going all over.
So Nathan also took the liberty of bringing some fun facts about the month of February, which is totally, that works for tonight. And then we're going to do a quiz, too, about some of the cities you're playing in. So how well you know your Wisconsin trivia, we will all learn. You're welcome to text or call in answers. We'll put these out there. We'll see if Conrad and I can guess a few. Nathan Deming's in the studio, folks. He is an up-and-coming filmmaker, incredibly talented. Joining me here on Nightlight, we're talking about his film February, which you can see most likely coming to a city near you in Wisconsin. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We'll be back with more with Nathan after the news on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents that they can obtain free identification for voting. According to a press release, voters do not need to obtain one of the new Real ID cards in order to vote, even though the Real ID cards will be required for domestic air travel beginning this year. Voters can obtain a valid state ID that can be used at their polling sites for free through the DMV website. The full requirements to obtain a voter ID card can also be found on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. On Friday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed to hear arguments in a lawsuit over $50 million of funding to overhaul how public schools teach their students to read. Republican lawmakers sued Governor Tony Evers following line-item vetoes on the bill, which gave the Department of Public Instruction the authority to decide how that money is spent rather than the state legislature. Since that partial veto, the Republican-controlled legislature has refused to release the funding, which could lead to the money being added back to the budget surplus. The Duluth Housing and Redevelopment Authority has received nearly $1.4 million in state funding to build and sell single-family homes around the city. As the price of housing continues to increase amid higher demand and lower supply, the Duluth HRA plans to build 3 homes in the Central Hillside neighborhood and 12 homes in the Morgan Park area. Officials say the homes will be a mix of 2- and 3-bedroom houses and feature sustainable power sources. City officials say they need to increase housing stock to match their growing workforce. The Duluth City Council is scheduled to vote on a settlement on Monday night that would clear the way for a downtown building to be demolished. The Pastorette Terrace building has been a problem property for years after being condemned in 2010 following a fire. Under the $2.1 million settlement proposal, $1.4 million would be used to provide grants and low-interest loans for the redevelopment of the area, and the remaining $700,000 would be made available for buildings in the Duluth Commercial Historic District. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Really good actors are supposed to be fearless. Leonardo DiCaprio is typically one of them. That was not the case, though, on the set of Django Unchained. During a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Jamie Foxx recalled DiCaprio, who played a ruthless slave owner, had trouble saying words that were racial slurs, even though he was in character. According to Foxx, Samuel Jackson put DiCaprio at ease, saying, like only Samuel Jackson can, "You can say that, mother." DiCaprio got the point. If you've got $150 million burning a hole in your pocket, consider purchasing Tom Brady's house. The amazing quarterback and mediocre commentator is selling his mansion in Miami. Don't worry, renovations are done, and they must have been doozies, because he purchased the home in 2024 for 17 million smackers. Not many people pocket 133 mil on a sale. Anyone interested in pretending to be filthy rich and taking a tour? I'm in. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, few flurries around, and lows in the low teens. For tomorrow, early snow showers, then some sunshine and breezy for the afternoon, highs in the mid-30s. And mostly sunny on Wednesday, highs climb to the upper 20s. Current temp is 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, Wisconsin Republicans want to limit Governor Evers' veto powers. Why did they do it when they had the majorities under former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Dude! How's it going, Phil?
It's going really well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to see you. Good to be back in the Midwest.
So, guys, I know I don't need to introduce this guy because you already know him, but this is Dan Fogelman.
Wow. All right. That's enough. Well, maybe a little more. Come on. Let me hear you.
You rascal. You rascal. All right. So, Dan Fogelman, the founding pastor of Bright Horizons St. Louis, Bright Horizons Milwaukee, a close personal friend and mentor of mine. And even though Dan is in the middle of his own church plant in Phoenix, he agreed to come out here and give us the old kick in the pants. So, no further ado, Dan Fogelman.
Thanks, Eli. Thank you. Wow, I don't deserve all this applause, but I'll take it. I'm excited. I founded the Milwaukee chapter of Bright Horizons with 8 families in a living room just like this. 8 families. There are over 2,000 people now in Bright Horizons, Milwaukee. 2,000 people. You're going to need a bigger living room.
Sure am.
But that's a good problem to have, right?
I think so, yeah.
All right, that was yours truly as Dan Fogelman, the founder of a mega church. It was fun to play that role in your film, Speaking in Tongues, a feature film you made several years ago.
Yeah,
that was so fun.
Pete, you were super nice. You were in my first feature film. Yeah. And it's on Amazon if you want to check it out.
Speaking in Tongues. Great story. And you are, I will say, and this is not geared towards myself, but you find actors and you make regular people that you like the look of, it seems like, or their demeanor somehow. You almost teach them how to act during the film. That's an incredible talent.
Well, thanks. Well, I guess I do think a lot of people can act, and they don't necessarily know it yet. Even you're an actor.
I'll get there. Don't worry.
You were an actor. I cast you. I was lucky to have you.
That was really fun. I remember that day was about 100 degrees in Chicago. We shot on the north side.
Yes.
And you put me up in some high-rise downtown that your aunt owned.
Yeah.
I had to wait. She took a long time in the shower, but it was great. No, I had the place to myself, and you guys would come in late at night, but for the most part, it was a really fun experience.
I remember that whole week. It was like 90 or 100 every day. We were in this old house in Old Town Chicago, and it was just like sweat. Yeah.
You guys are working hard. So you went to film school, though, and that helped. You kind of bring all your film school buddies in, and you guys all kind of help each other. I find that really a cool networking tactic.
Yeah. I think we talked once before about, like, is film school for everyone? And I don't know. But at least for me, yeah, besides, like, getting to, like, meet a lot of really cool filmmakers or learn from them, just that camaraderie you get with the people you come out of it with was also really important. Yeah,
I'm sure it was invaluable. So you're on a new project. This is so great. You're doing a movie for each month of the year, like a movie miniseries, sort of, if you will. The new one is February. You did January. Now you're doing February. You're doing a tour around the state, and you're showing it at the Door County Film Festival. Where can people see it in the next few days? You mentioned a couple cities.
Yeah, well, we have a little January screening tomorrow, a little sneak preview. Tomorrow, January 28th, at Prairie du Chien at the Prairie Cinema. And that's kind of in association with later this week is the 75th annual ice fishery. So our movie's about ice fishing. So a little celebration of the ice fishery coming up. Yeah, the tip up. And the kind of the big tour around Wisconsin begins on Saturday with Eau Claire.
It's interesting. I was telling you, Conrad, remember that legislation last week, the conception begins at erection? I don't even think this is legal in the South if we just did that. I don't think you can ice fish because it promotes. I'm just saying, I don't, you know.
No comment.
So, all right. So tell us more. You've got some fun facts there about the month of February.
Well, that's the thing. Our movie is about a lot of things, you know, and we're trying to have fun with the screening tour. I'm going to every location. Sometimes the main actor's joining me.
You do a Q&A after?
We're going to do a Q&A. We're going to talk about a lot of things. The movie's about a lot of things. It's about ice fishing. It's about Latinos in Wisconsin. Also, it's just about the month of February. So I brought some fun facts about February. Here's some other names for February in the past. Solmanath, which means mud month.
I don't like that.
That sounds right?
I guess.
Feverel, which is an English name. Sprout kale. That's kind of a fun name for February. Shortest month of the year. We all know that. It's also Black History Month. It's a month where some people have a very rare birthday, February 29th.
29th, leap year, sure.
Which is shared by both Gioacchino Rossini, the Italian composer, and Ja Rule.
Oh, is that right?
They're both born on February 29th.
That's very interesting. So, I'm not familiar with either one of their works, but I got to check that out.
Also, the Romans, though, the name February comes from Februa, which it was a Roman month.
Okay.
And it was a time of purification.
Oh. So how did they do that, the Romans?
I don't
they
know.
They needed it. It sounds like.
Yeah, but it's an interesting thing to think about as this month comes on us.
I like it.
Time of purification.
Just a nice thing to learn. Conrad, are you writing that down too?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You can't forget this stuff, buddy. All right. So we have a quiz. You also brought a quiz with you.
Right. Well, we're going all around Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I thought I'd tour you, Pete. Or quiz you, Pete, about...
You want the tour? I'll give you the tour. It's pretty basic.
You. I'll quiz you about your knowledge of some of the cities we're stopping in. We'll see how you do.
Now, if you guys want to text in and try to play along, that's fine, but this is Pete-centric. I'm going to see how I do here.
No shame if you get some wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no Googling either, unless it's Conrad who wants to send me the answers while I'm in the middle of the quiz. Okay.
All right. Okay. We're going to 30 cities next month.
Whew.
Which of these following towns is known as the Muskie capital of the world? A, Shawano. B, Ashland. C, Hayward.
C, Hayward.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding.
Where's my bell? Okay. We'll do double bells. All right.
Okay. Which of these Wisconsin towns is known as the birthplace of legendary architect Frank Lloyd Wright? A, Alma. B, Richland Center. Or C, Sparta?
I want to say Sparta, but I think that's where the House of the Rock is, so maybe he wasn't born there. I'm going to go against my instincts, which I've done my whole life, unfortunately, and say Alma.
Nope. Richland Center. Do we have a buzzer
a
sound?
No, a wah, wah, wah. All right. How wrong? Oh, that's like Schwabba wrong. My instincts say this. I'm going to go with this. No, it's the third one. Like, that's terrible instincts. All right, go ahead.
Okay, which city on our tour, well, you don't need to know all of them, but what city is the home in Wisconsin to the busiest McDonald's in the state?
Oh, my God. Probably something like right in the middle where the interstates come together. Like,
yeah.
Am I onto something?
You're onto something.
Wisconsin Dells?
Close. It's my hometown.
Toma. I'm going to give myself that
one. The only reason I know that. Okay. Okay. Two truths and a lie about Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Okay.
Two truths and a lie. Okay.
Once known as Sawdust City, it's also home to Justin Vernon of Bon Iver. That's fact one.
Okay.
A woman known as the Cave Lady used to live with her family in a cave along the Eau Claire River and submit poems to the Leader Telegram and was actually pretty popular. That's number two.
I took her to prom. You try pinning a boutonniere on in a cave. It's really tough. Okay.
Number three, Eau Claire is home to the nation's oldest operating farmer's market established in the early 1800s.
Really?
Well, which one's...
Oh, so one two of those, are true.
Two are true, one's a lie.
Can you read the cave one again?
A woman known as the Cave Lady used to live with her family in a cave along the Eau Claire River and submit poems to the newspaper and was really popular.
All right, and then the third one was...
That it's the home to the nation's oldest farmer's
market. I'm going to say that's the false.
That is true. Yes, I mean,
you mean
you're
I'm
correct.
Right.
You're correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Because I know Sawdust City, there was a movie called Sawdust City, and the filmmakers were from there, and that cave one is too weird.
And everybody knows Bon Iver is from Eau Claire, yeah. Yeah, actually, it's a new book out that's you can buy it in Eau Claire. It's called The Cave Lady by Jane Glenns. It's really interesting because this is like 100 years ago. She ended up getting arrested and having a court trial for living in the cave.
That's illegal?
I guess.
You can't do anything
100
anymore.
Years ago.
Give me a break.
Okay, which of these towns host the Lumberjack World Championship celebrating logging history and competition? Do you know already? A, Shawano. B, Ashland. C, Hayward.
I'm going to say Ashland.
Hayward.
Hayward, really?
Hayward, yeah. I threw in two Haywards.
Yeah, that's what you threw me off there. I probably wouldn't have. That's impressive.
Okay, but with those same three, which town is known for Shawano Lake, a popular fishing and recreational spot?
You must think I am so remedial.
A, Shawano. B, Ashland. C, Hayward.
Shawano?
Shawano. All right, I got a couple ice fishing questions now, which I know you know all about.
I was so in my head on that last one. I knew it was Shawano Lake because I have friends, but I'm like, was he trying to, is there some way? Okay,
what piece of ice fishing equipment is essential for drilling the hole in ice fishing? A, the tackle box. B, an auger. C, a depth finder. Or D, a tip up.
Listen, I'm a city guy. I'm not an outdoorsy guy. I know it's an auger.
It's an auger. Yeah.
How am I doing?
You're doing good. I think you're doing good. I'm not keeping track. Hope maybe somebody at home is keeping track. How old is ice fishing? A, 300 years old, B, 700, or C, 2,000 years old? Oh,
God.
What's your gut say?
Con, I'm going to let you in on this one. You got a guess?
I'm just going to go you said 2,000?
Yeah.
2,000.
Did people live? I mean, Native Americans are probably here 2,000. Yeah, 2,000.
2,000 years ago.
Well done, Conrad.
Native Americans are credited with inventing ice fishing, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And of them, in what is now Wisconsin, which Native American tribe is commonly credited with the earliest known method of ice fishing? A, Menominee, B, Ojibwe or Chippewa, or C, Ho-Chunk?
Ojibwe.
Yeah. You're doing great. He's doing great.
Listen, I do crossword puzzles, buddy. I know what I'm...
Okay, almost done. Got a few more. The U.S. is going to host two ice fishing world championships this year, one in Michigan and one in Wisconsin. What town in Wisconsin?
Did anybody watching on the stream see what Nathan just did? That thing he just did, man, he had to go to the bathroom. He wasn't giving me the answer. I'll say Green Bay.
Green Bay. In October, they're going to have the Street Fishing World Championship.
Oh, so it's not ice fishing?
No, it is ice fishing.
But in October?
In October.
That's my kind of ice fishing.
It was just in the Green Bay Gazette.
All right.
Like 2 days ago.
Oh, that's so cool. We'll have to do something with that, Conrad, for this. Okay. When is that? That's this coming October?
Yeah.
Okay.
2025. Two more.
All right.
What city on our tour is the only city in America to have voted for three socialist mayors?
Well, I haven't seen the full list of your tour.
This is a quote from Wayne's World, if you've seen Wayne's World.
I'm going to say Milwaukee.
Yes, that's the scene. It's that scene.
All right.
Finally, what screening of February next month will Pete Schwava be present for?
Oh, man. Let me think about this. Well, just because you set it up ahead of time, I'll say Marinette, February 22nd, Marinette. The Mariner Theater, 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Get there early. It's a great little spot. It's going to be a fun day.
I didn't bring you a prize. I feel like I should give you the tip up.
You know what?
You should win the tip up.
I think I sense a muskie is close. Boom. do people catch muskies ice fishing?
I'm not the right person to ask about.
They're kind of an aggressive fish. And honest to God, like I did go skinny dipping late at night once.
In ice water?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
In a regular lake.
Yeah.
But I jumped in and I'm like, what if that'd be me. I'd be that guy. Did you hear he just went skinny dipping and this muskie came up and bit him right in the beep? Like, I didn't want to be that guy. So I was literally in the lake 2 seconds. I'm like, okay, that's good. Let's get out.
I'm like following all these like Facebook pages now for ice fishing for the film. People catch monsters. Like, I don't know how they drill a hole big enough, but
that is insane. Yeah. So, all right, the reason we did that quiz, Nathan is touring around Wisconsin. Nathan Deming is my guest. He's in studio, writer-director, very talented writer-director, and he is showing his film February, the second installment of a 12-month film project that you're going to do one for every month.
All about Wisconsin.
Starting a Wisconsin tour. And you have a website again for the...
Yes, the film's website is februaryfilm.com. And if they want to find out where we're going on the tour, februaryfilm.com/screenings. But check it out. We're probably going near you because we're hitting up everywhere.
It's a great story. I've already seen the film. Where did I see it? Last year at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Yep, we premiered at Wisconsin last year. Yep.
Yeah, that was a fun premiere and a really nice film. So so you can stick around, help us close this down.
Totally,
right?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll find us some more quiz things.
I'll look somewhere, yeah.
You got any more quizzes I can ace? Hey, you're grading on a curve. We can do it. All right, we got a text from Steady Eddie coming up and one from Bridget, too. We'll read those, and we'll talk with Nathan Deming, the writer-director, who's here in the studio for a few more minutes. And, Conrad, what am I forgetting?
I don't think you're forgetting anything.
Nothing, right?
No.
I forget my lunch? No. All right, Conrad's here too, folks. It's an actual party. It's three dudes hanging out in downtown Green Bay. What could be better? Great to have you with us here on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY. Going slower.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down the night shift. I bet you're singing proud.
Checking in, as he so often does, is Steady Eddie from the 608. He says, "Pete, speaking of crap, how you doing?" Oh, those are fighting words. He says, "Just kidding, Pete. We mentioned that the toilet was invented by John Crapper." He's making reference to that. He says, "You and Conrad are night lighting it up. Without a doubt, it's your best show of the week so far." Thank you, Steady Eddie. "In my high school, they displayed photos and names of all the graduating classes. In the first class from about 1894 was a beautiful young woman with the last name of Crap. Her misguided, out to lunch, twisted, or maybe all the above parents gave her the first name of Lotta." Her name was Lotta Crap. "What were her parents thinking? To my mind, they were a couple of real Herkel Jerkles." Again, Steady Eddie, it's Herkel Dirkles. I know what he's doing, though. He says, "I don't think the NFL is rigged, but Conrad is right. Josh Allen made the first down. Bad call. But luckily, I will now get the chance to see more of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on my TV. Yippee," in all caps, "night, night, nightlight. Steady, indignant Eddie." Very well done, Eddie, as always. Bridget from the 818 says, "I hope so. I love seeing Taylor at the games, especially the Super Bowl." That's what I love about our listening audience. We got guys like Steady Eddie, who are a little more, you know, sardonic, if you will. And then Bridget, who wants to see Taylor Swift.
I was wondering,
I have no problem with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I watched the game yesterday. They only cut to her once. Is that like a new thing? I would not show her.
No, people were in an outrage last year because they showed her a ton, and she was on. It was like 42 seconds for the whole broadcast. She was on the screen, and people were losing their minds.
I was one of the people tuning in because of the whole spectacle. I was just like, "This is so funny. She's up there."
I don't know much about this football, but I got to see what all the fuss is here. Nathan Deming is here. We're helping me close out the show. Let's, before you get out of here, I know you're very passionate about film incentives. As am I. I think they would be great for our state. I've said before, though, I think we need to build a culture in Wisconsin and not just pass legislation, but start when kids are young, get them into theater, get them into movie making, music, whatever it is, and brand ourselves a more cultural state. We already are, I think, to some degree, but I think to make the incentives stick, that has to be part of our fabric here. What is your take on the film incentives?
I believe really strongly that Wisconsin's a very cinematic state and we have a lot of talent here. But the problem is unlike other art forms, film is very expensive and it comes with machinery, like huge groups that have to, that's just how it is. So
yeah.
I'm working on this tour. One reason I'm for the tour, besides getting to show my film around Wisconsin, I'm working with this group called Action Wisconsin, which people can check out online. They're a nonprofit, bipartisan group made up of filmmakers, entrepreneurs, local business owners, trying to lobby the Wisconsin government to bring back state tax incentives. And if people don't know what those are, states around the country now and countries around the world offer Hollywood incentives to film there. And it's a little more complicated than that. But basically, it means they'll pay part of the budget to go there, which sounds like Hollywood taking advantage of you, but it's actually really smart. It's how you get production there, and it brings tons of jobs. And, like, you never know what movie's going to pop off. And then just movies last a long time. People still talk about Fargo. Would you go to Fargo for any other reason? No offense, Fargo.
Other than to do stand-up comedy, which is why I went there in the 90s. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But, yeah, but, like, you know it now because of the Coen Brothers movie.
Absolutely.
You know, and these places resonate. And I think our state can be that, too. So, yeah, Action Wisconsin, just trying to bring awareness to this issue, trying to contact legislators and say, let's bring back the state tax credits, because we used to have it, but now we're one of 13 states that don't.
That don't. We don't have a film office either.
I don't know what's happening. Minnesota has them. I know. We're losing jobs.
Minnesota has a very aggressive tax incentive program. You can utilize more than one tax incentive there. Yeah. So Michigan had them, but pulled them because they needed roads. I don't think people really understand what the, but it is a nice postcard for the state, sort of too, like you mentioned. So that's a good thing too. Tell us about, speaking of incentives, we have a couple more minutes left. What are the advantages of filming here to LA? I mean, it depends on your story. Sometimes in a script, LA is part of the script almost, the backdrop. And I guess you could argue the same would be said for Wisconsin, but talk about, compare if you would, you've filmed in both places, the advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah, when you filmed the feature here, too, I think we probably both experienced the same thing, which is that L.A. is great, right? It's the center of the industry, but there's a lot of, like, paperwork and money, like, a lot of things that can slow down your production. Compared to Wisconsin, which there's kind of also this thing in the air when you're shooting something here, which is, like, people who stop and see you shooting, they're actually interested. Like in LA, you can throw a rock and hit a film production, you know, just shooting down your street.
Or director.
And there's like this attitude about it, like, they're blocking my car from getting out. But in Wisconsin, they're like, oh, you need to shoot in a barn? Come on.
My cousin's got one.
Please. There's kind of this camaraderie there that's really fun. And like, we shot in a hotel that they just let us shoot there. And in LA, that would have been probably thousands of dollars.
And the great thing about locations, when you shoot in Wisconsin and someone gives you a location, they'll tell you the history of that location. I got so drunk right over there, lost my virginity over there. It's so much fun. And we did that too. When I made, you mentioned I made a feature here, The Godfather of Green Bay, the producer, Brian Edding, who's awesome, he said, we have to shoot this in LA because it's easier. We have crews here. Then it was Chicago. And I'm like, the movie is set in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It has to be. You can't fake authenticity in a small indie film. So I talked him into it. He was great. It worked out. But it is hard to get crews, or you pay more for them. But I think what you offset, you get a lot of benefits here.
Yeah, so. I was just on Charlie Barron's podcast, and he talked about The Great Outdoors, Wisconsin movie. Clearly has the mountains of like Lake Tahoe in the background or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Nathan, thank you so much, buddy. Good luck in Door County, and keep us posted on the tour. And maybe we'll have you back on before we do the Marinette thing. That'll be fun to talk about again. All right, Nathan
Thanks
Deming
so
joining me in the studio. Thank you also to Chip Chinnery from Chip's Money Tips. Check out Chip's website. Great stuff. Thank you for all your texts and calls as usual. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Take it to your best friend's house, marmalade when making out, oh yeah. I'll take it to your best friend's house, I loved you then and I love you now.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn explaining why Brad Schimmel should never be a Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Surging immigrant raids in the days since President Trump took office.
The sweeps from coast to coast. In Denver, agents raiding a nightclub, detaining around 50 people, a bus driving them away. The DEA says they were associated with the violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. The administration hoping to convince undocumented migrants to self-deport. And others not to come in the first place.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The president has his Treasury Secretary, the Senate, voting 68-29 to confirm billionaire investor Scott Bessent. His job will be to cut taxes and curb deficits, all while pushing a tariff plan that won't hobble the economy. January 6th convict Matthew Huddle was among those pardoned recently by the president. We're getting word from Jasper County in northwest Indiana that a sheriff's deputy shot and killed Huddle over the weekend during a traffic stop. Cops say Huddle had a gun on him. This is ABC News. At Auschwitz